I actually want to take you to a few scriptures that I think is very relevant to where we are at this stage, and talking about how do we come into step with where God is at. Now, this is very important because, guys, when we start to reposition ourselves to make Jesus the first love of our lives, and I spoke on this topic at the small group on Wednesday night as well, you know, it's so easy to fall in the trap of letting our programs and even the church become the main priority rather than to come back to the feet of Jesus and to know that He's a person. We so easily make our religion and our beliefs the Alpha Omega and Omega of our lives rather than to recognize that Jesus is a person and He wants to spend time with us. And I'm really in my quiet time just this week again, I've spent time with the Lord in wanting to actually come to things that you've sung this morning, Sifiso, and that all of us sang this morning, and that is that we would see His face, that we would actually experience Him as a person. And so we spoke at the small group about the fact that when you are in your first love phase of a relationship, it means that you actually want to engage into the person and to get him to know the person and excited about the things that excites the other person. And I want to encourage you to come to that place before we do anything. Let's be God's children. Let's be the people that actually embrace what God is doing in our lives through His presence. And so, what I want to speak to you this morning about is how do we, in an act of spending time with Him, see our lives being in step with where He's moving. Now, this is very important. Because if you don't know Him and you only do the things that Christianity is asking you to do, you don't know the person, you will always do acts of effort out of the flesh. Are you with me? And so I see a lot of Christians doing a lot of stuff for the Lord, and they are cultivating a habit of even, you know, doing nice things and good things and, you know, amazing things for the Lord, but they don't recognize that it must come out of the depth of having a relationship with Him. So I'll be speaking at the camp about this as well. How do you let your cup run over? Because it's when our cups start to run over that we actually experience the life source of Jesus in person that changes our lives so that other people can be transformed. Are you with me this morning? So we focus so much on changing other people and bringing other people into the kingdom and doing awesome stuff for the Lord, and we forget that it all must actually come out of a place of the abundance of what God is doing with us. So if you've not spent time with God the last month or so, guess what? It's going to be very difficult to actually let your cup run over. It's going to be very difficult to come to a place where you actually can mean anything for any person next to you. So I've heard, you know, even confessions of the last few weeks of people saying in the church, listen, you know, I've tried so hard to actually, you know, be a good Christian, to stand up in the morning. The mic, can you just quickly get a tissue for me, please? To cultivate a lifestyle where you stand up in the morning and they feel ashamed because they cannot stand up in the morning. They say to me, you know, we've done so much to actually try to be vigilant and do what God is expecting us to do, but it's difficult. We don't get it right. It's almost as if the flesh is giving up on us. In our fleshly desires, we don't want to spend time with God. We don't want to worship Him. We don't want to come to church. We actually see it many times as a hassle in our lives. Are you with me? Do you sometimes feel like that? Am I the only one? Okay, wonderful. Am I preaching to the converted this morning? Guys, the fact is, you and I, when we spend time with God, something clicks inside and we start to live life. And so, being in step In Galatians 5 verse 25, there's a scripture, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, this word, being in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, actually came from a military term in the Greek language, which spoke about when you are in a platoon, is that?
Platoon,
that's the right word. Platoon, when you actually walk in a military formation in such a way where the person in front of you, you make sure just to step into their heels. Okay, so when they lift their heel, you make sure to put your heel into their heel. And so you make sure that you keep up to the rhythm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So that Greek word speaks of the fact that you, when you keep in the Spirit, you actually keep in being like a soldier in a military platoon that actually keeps up with what is happening with the rest of your platoon. Now, you're as strong as the weakest link within that platoon as well. Are you with me this morning? So, when it says that we must keep up and stay in the Spirit, Paul is actually speaking about the fact that you and I forms part of a bigger army. Are you with me this morning? We're not just by ourselves, which many of us many times think we are. And the fact is, we actually are at our best when we make sure that we fall into line with what God is already doing. Are you with me this morning? Mm-hmm. God is not confused. Mm-hmm. Do you know that all your circumstances at this stage is formulated to actually fulfill God's calling upon your life? Do you know that even the frustrations in your life at this stage and the people that's irritating you is there so that God can be glorified and that you can come to your fruition? It's time to actually come to a place where you are thankful in positioning yourself and understanding that you must be present. Sometimes we dream so much about what's ahead and what's going to happen one day that we forget that we should be present. And so when we find ourselves in this platoon, we get into a place where we actually hear the voice of God together. As a family of believers, there's a reason why you came here this morning. And I just want to say it very confidently. I want to say, guys, the fact is, God was not confused when He sent you here. God was not confused that there's certain relationships in your life that actually is now very important. And He wants to use you in them. And finding our place in the Spirit means that all of us here together from God, and God knits our hearts together into seeing His purposes together. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. And so Romans 4 verse 5 or 4 to 5 says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. We also read this scripture when we spoke about freeing your thoughts. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so, for us, the Holy Spirit work in our life as a testimony of Jesus that's in our lives every day. You know what's so amazing? And I want to actually just re-emphasize this. Guys, do you know that the Jews waited for the coming of the Messiah all of their lives and still waiting for those who have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? But they've got a fervent expectation that the Messiah would in person come to personify God the Father. And so for you and I, knowing that Jesus is the one, the one that came to actually die for our sins and reunite us with the Father, we've got the privilege and the answer for God for this world in knowing a person. And so in embracing Jesus and making Him part of our lives, we have the expectation being fulfilled for every Jew to know that now we don't just serve a religion and being God's people and being God's anointed ones, but we have a relationship with the anointed one. We have a person that we can relate to, that we can talk to, and that we can see face to face. Are you with me? Okay. Guys, this sounds like, should be so easy. But I'm telling you, we're not spending time with the one that matters most. We rather spend time with the pastor and with the small group leader and with whoever wants to hear our story than to go to God. And I'm not saying you should not spend time with me. I love spending time with all of you. But guys, the most important thing is to come to the King of Kings and be transformed. If you don't, you're in trouble. And so, the first thing that I want to say is, some set their minds on the things of the flesh, and I can tell you, it's for me more evident here in London even than where I come from, just because people are very materialized. People think about materialism a lot. There's always stuff occupying the space in the head. When you ask, where's the specials in London now, the normal London person would tell you, at Sainsbury's there's this special, this, because we are caught up in a society that serves things, because our needs must be met. And I'm not saying it's wrong. God loves meeting our needs. But being in the Spirit means that we make a conscious choice to actually serve the Spirit. To come into where the Spirit is moving. Now listen to Romans 8 verse 6 then to 9. For the carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Listen to this. We are in the Spirit. Remember 2 weeks ago, and if you didn't listen to that sermon, please go on iTunes or even on the website and go and download it. Go and listen to it. Because when we find ourselves being satisfied by the flesh, we are at a filthy place, a shameful place, a place where we always feel Not good enough. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he's not his. And I want to say to you, some of us are going to be very surprised coming into heaven one day. And the Master of all would say, I did not know you. Not because he wants to be malicious. But I want to say to you guys, there's lots of teachings going around that if you once were a Christian, you're always a Christian. That's not the case. Your lamp must be fed by the anointing of God every day of your life. That means being in step is positioning yourself to a place where you have a relationship with God constantly. Not once. Not a once-off experience and it deals with the rest of your life. And I want to just remind you this morning, and this is not a doomed message this morning, but I want to say to you, where you're going to spend eternity is determined by the decision of whose you are. Are you the Lord's or are you living in the flesh? But how you're going to experience eternity is by how you lived here on earth. Every action of you will be counted. Are you with me this morning? Is this ouch stuff? Guys, we must reposition ourselves in knowing that every day is a day where we be filled by the Spirit and in step with the Spirit in every action we do. And we bring ourselves into that place where we are always in step. Are you with me? being in the flesh is doing our own strength, not in step with God, cannot please God. Setting your mind means you are aligning yourself to believe the things that your head figures out. The norms and the standards of the world, your rationale to figure things out. The problem is that the more you try to figure it out, the less peace you have. Is it not so? The more we try to figure out this thing called life, the less we know and the less peace we have. Is it not so? Until we come to the feet of Jesus and we experience the one that created us, because he knows how to satisfy our needs in his presence. Years ago, I traveled, I think it was actually to London, I can't remember if it was London or to Johannesburg, I can't remember, but I was on an aeroplane with this guy that, it's always like that, when you're a pastor, the biggest question is always, what do you do? Because when people hear, it's strange how it happens, but they will swear and they will go wild until they hear that you are a pastor. Then it's as if everything changed, because now they are behaving, in and around your space. And this guy, when he asked me, what do you do? I said to him, I'm a pastor, I'm ministering at a congregation. And so then the conversation started about church. And he told me, you know what? I was at a church a few years ago. But he said, until one day they called me together, the elders of the church, and they said to me, you know what? We've got a problem with the fact that you are drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning alcohol. That's just wrong. You should not drink alcohol 11 o'clock in the morning. That's just not right. He said, and it freaked him so much, so hard, that he resigned from the church, and until this day he's never gone to church back again. Now, I've got a problem with what the elders did, but that's a story for another day. But the fact is, this guy was busy explaining to me how he is experiencing God. Not the elders of the church even, not the church even, but how he's experiencing God according to his perspective on how he experience church. Are you with me? And so I was listening to his story, and you know what was so strange is that he had this desire to talk about, you know, how he felt with the elders and the church the whole time. And even worse, he was busy justifying why he's not in church and why he even drank wine early in the morning. So much that we had this long conversation about how it's good for your health or not good for your health to drink wine at 11 o'clock in the morning. It had nothing to do with God. Are you with me? So my question later on, because I was quiet the whole time, I said to him, so do you think God had a problem with you drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning? The strange thing is that his answer was, yes, I actually do think that God has a problem with me drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning. But I could see something different in his eyes when I asked the question. Because at that stage, you know, he realized that actually, even though he's busy justifying whatever he does, he knows deep down inside that he's justifying something that he cannot defend. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. And is that not how people in this world always react? It's strange how people would go off on tangents about certain things, and they will try to justify it and make sure that you think that it's the right thing. You know, I've had so many people in the past that would come to me with all kinds of excuses. One guy would come to me saying, listen, I don't come to church on a Sunday. And it's not as if I, you know, said anything about he's coming to church or not. He came to me and he said to me, you know, I don't go to church on Sunday because I'm watching the TV and I've got some sermons there on the TV that I watch every Sunday. And so he was busy justifying himself, and
You know, it was strange how much time he spent to actually try to justify what he's doing. And my thoughts were just, if it's fine, why do you explain it to me? Clearly you have a desire to actually rather be at church and spend time with the people of God. Otherwise you won't justify what you're doing at home. Are you with me? So guys, it's strange how we in our thinking, in our fleshly thinking, try to bring peace in ourselves in reasoning things out. So other guy would come to me, would say to me, listen, I'm a businessman and you know I've been called to make my business the kingdom of God, and so I don't come to church because I, you know, believe my business is the kingdom of God. So I asked him the question, so it's fine, but just tell me, how many people did you lead to Christ while you are building God's kingdom in your business? How many people in your business are experiencing the love of God and the acceptance of God and give their hearts to the Lord because you have been? Because if it's not about that, then we have a problem about your reasoning. Are you with me? Strange how people would always try to justify their causes because they need to find peace. Another person would come to me saying that, I need to... I don't need to come to small group in the church because I've got friends that I relate to and we are in accountability with one another. And then my question would be, okay, so it sounds like your friends are all like-minded because the things that you guys agree on, you basically agree on everything together. That's why you are together. So can we have a conversation about why a small group is there? That you need to actually have insight in your life of people that don't believe the same things that you believe. Because if I read 1 Peter 2, it says that it's living stones shaped and formed together. But now, why do we have this conversation? The fact is, clearly, you have a desire to actually be challenged to have more in your life. Other girl came to me saying that, I know she was at youth at that stage, and she came to me and said to me, you know, she loves this Christianity thing because every time she sins, she can just ask for forgiveness and then do it again, and, you know, because Jesus is there and the love of God is there. And so I was listening to her reasoning the whole time, and I asked her the question, okay, but if that is true, how do you feel when you do this sin every time? And I could see the lights going on because she realized that she's talking nonsense. Because sin is not doing her well. And guys, so I want to say to you, you know, it's strange how we all know what is right because we have the Holy Spirit within us. But we try to, by the flesh, start to reason and figure our lives out to such an extent where we can convince ourselves that we are actually in need of a God. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? Guys, we should not waste our time on this thing called religion if we don't have a living relationship being in step with the one that matters most. Romans 8 verse 1. Going back to verse 1 now. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Oh. Are you with me? For those who don't try to convince themselves that what they are doing is right and wrong, they'll be fine because they are living by the Spirit. What does that mean? Living by the Spirit means that you find peace being with the one that matters most. Are you with me? The second thing, guys, I'm almost there. There's three things, I'm going to just sit a little bit on the third thing, but then we finish. The second thing is who live according to the Spirit, verse 5. Listen to Ephesians 5, verse 17 to 21. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Are you with me? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, there's just four things, and we can speak about these things even later on in the year. But I'm going to just mention them again to you. The first one is speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Meditating on the things that is right. Spending time with God. Spending time in building our faith through worshiping God. Secondly, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Connecting with the Lord and making time for Him in your life. Giving thanks always for all things. Being glad that in all circumstances, God is good to you. We don't even know how good God is to us because we're not spending time with Him. Spending time with Him would make you cautious and even aware of what He is doing in your life. And then, fourth, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. But you know what? The tendency these days is people don't want to go to church because they don't want to submit to anyone in their lives. They just want to be the boss over themselves and make their own decisions. And that is a natural tendency of the flesh, but it should not be within those who serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm not this morning condemning anything outside of the church. I'm saying, guys, there's an expectation that we, when we walk in the Spirit, that we are not fulfilling our own desires only. That God comes to convict us of being in step with the rest of His body, to hear together with other people the will of God. Now, I can tell you, for me and my wife, the more time we spend with God, the more we find unity in our marriage. Because if both of us hear from God, we will naturally flow toward God in the Spirit. If we don't spend time with God, there's always chaos in our house. We fight with one another. We miss one another. Are you with me? Unity does not come because we are agreeing about everything. Can I just say that to you? Unity does not come because all of us agree on everything. There's things that you're going to maybe disagree with me on. But one thing that we cannot disagree on is that God speaks to all of us, and we must together, corporately, find His voice. And whatever God is speaking to us collectively about, we must trust that that is how He speaks to us. And what is... if you're not part of a body, it's difficult to actually, collectively with other people, hear the voice of God. And we will twist in our minds God's truth for our lives to whatever suits our circumstances. Because I'm telling you, I don't think we really know how powerful, how strong our reasoning capacity is. Listen to this, the requirement, number three. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. What is the righteous requirement? Now, I want to just quickly get to Matthew 14, and then we'll speak about five things under that. And guys, keep up with me, please. I know that you are very strong this morning, eh? Just do this. Strong, Joseph?
Strong.
Strong. Yes. Okay, you're strong. Great, then we can go for it. Matthew 14, 23. 234. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Okay, so this was Jesus' way to actually build Himself. Okay? Go away from the people. No reasoning. No debates. No conversations. Only spend time with the Father. That builds Jesus. Okay? So it's going to work for you as well. It's a good remedy to the being out of peace sickness. Okay. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
The doctor is frowning. When you're out of peace, the remedy is to have Jesus in your life. Okay? Doctor, please don't crucify me today. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Do you know why they said it's a ghost? Do you know that the reference for these disciples were that in the Lake of Galilee, at that stage, the rumors was that there was dragons. And there was like what you guys have here in Scotland, in the Loch Ness lakes, there's a belief that deep down in the lake there must be a dragon. Okay, so their beliefs at that stage, and this is a real reality, there's stories being written of this, that in this lake of Gennesaret, or the Lake of Galilee as we know it, it's the same thing by the way, there was this terrible monsters that would get hold of you when the storms, you know, takes place. So for these disciples, it was a frightening experience. These were mostly fishermen that knew the sea. And if they get afraid, then I'm telling you, then there must be something going here. Okay? So please, have this in mind. But immediately, verse 27, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water." Do you know how big of a step this is for Peter? Peter, being a fisherman over many, because it says in the Bible that he had many that worked for him, that actually he called upon them to come and bring in the fish, you know, early in Luke chapter 5. But now, for this man, knowing the sea, it's a tremendous step to actually come to what he believes is the truth. Can we talk about, have a discussion about truth? Because for you and I, reality says the storm is raging and there might be a little dragon down there. Ooh, are you with me?
Mm.
This is scary stuff. Reality says that for Jesus to ask you to come and walk on the sea, it means that there's not just gravity, but there's also buoyancy at stake here. I don't know about you guys, if you tried swimming in the past without moving your arms, it's not an experience. But this man, okay, guys, this is not a little story. This is the truth that we're talking about. This was real TV, okay? Real reality TV. This is a man called Peter that actually... Thanks, my love. A man called Peter that must make some sums in his head. Reasoning. Now, if he reasons, reality says to him, if I in the past tried to get out of my boat and walk on the water, it would not work. But if this man called Jesus, when he says, "Get out of the boat," truth says that I will be able to walk on the water. I want to say to you, walking in the Spirit means that you and I need to have a good reality check. To know that not everything that you and I will be experiencing on this earth will make sense. Are you with me?
Mm.
You know that you do crazy stuff when you believe in Jesus? Do you know that, you know, for me, The most craziest stuff that I've heard the Holy Spirit say to me and do it was the things that God actually came through to me with, you know, in reality to me, or in truth. I remember going with the Fanafians to a place called Dordrecht. Dordrecht is a place in the Netherlands. And there's a church which in Dordrecht is a very significant church, because if you know anything about the Netherlands is you know, church, some of you that came out of South Africa even would remember the catechisms. That very important stuff that happened at this church. So we went to this church to walk around the church 7 times to anoint the walls, and to actually, the Fanafian lady had a little speaker with worship music on it. Now, listen, guys, don't think that you, when you become a pastor, you are not fearful and that you are not conscious of people. Okay? Don't think that there's a switch that you put on as a pastor that says everyone look at you and you don't feel a thing, because... Are you with me? Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same for the pastor. Walking 7 times around the church, and people are busy coming from all over the world to visit this church and see these crazy people singing songs all around the church and anointing the church. It's not just the issue of people looking at you. You are waiting for the police to arrive to come and arrest you. Okay, are you with me? Because you are doing strange things. But guess what? The Holy Spirit said to us, we must do it. And it's amazing, the consequences. It's amazing how God came through for us, gave us words, and some of the things that He gave us on that day came to fruition, even the name of the church in Utrecht. Because at that stage, we didn't even know that we were going to plant a church in Utrecht. But God spoke to us because of our obedience in following, being in step with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Sometimes reality says to us that you should not walk the streets of London and pray for people. You should not have a conversation with the lady at the toll about Jesus, because it's not a nice thing to do. It's intruding their space, to say the least. But guess what? Truth says, I love the city of London. Truth says, I want to visit the city of London. Will you be obedient to partner with me and be in step with where I'm heading? Because if you are, you're about to experience the journey of your life. It's our privilege to be in step. Because while being in step with the Holy Spirit, life starts to unfold. While being in the Spirit, life starts to become interesting. We start to see amazing stuff unfold in and through our lives every minute of the day. Listen to this. 5 things that I'm going to end off with. It's going to be quick, so relax. First one is, walking in the Spirit means that we sometimes do crazy things, that we are obedient to truth rather than reality. Secondly, the requirement of Romans 8. Two, stir the flame. So you know what? God is already at work here in London. He's already at work in your workplace. God has a plan. You must just start to see that plan. Fan the little flame and see a felt fire. Now, can I tell you, and I've mentioned this in the past in this church, but I want to mention it again. You know, I've seen this so many times before. You would ask a pastor at a church. I've had the privilege to go around to many churches in South Africa and beyond, to Namibia, yeah, even in Europe. Shofar churches, and always you would ask them, so what is God calling you guys to? And then they will always say, this is the hardest ground in the whole world. You know, when you get to London, they would say to you here, okay, this is hard ground. Okay, to share the gospel here is almost impossible. Okay, if I hear that again, you know, it would be probably the millionth time that I've heard that here in London. Okay, it's always, here in London, we don't do things that way. Okay, here it's very difficult to share the gospel. Then, if you go to France, you can South Africa, they would say to you, the Freemasons. You must just walk in the, you know, there among the graveyard stones and just see how many Freemasons. Yeah, it's almost impossible to break new ground, to break through, to get spiritual breakthrough. Wherever you go, it's always the hardest for people because there's some reason for them not connecting with God. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. You ask them what is the answer, they always say what they are not. Which means that, you know, for a student church, it's always, we want more families in our church. For a family church, it's always we need more students. For black churches, it's we need more white people. For white churches, it's more black people. Are you with me?
Mm.
It's strange how, you know, people are never satisfied with where they are at. They just want something that they are not. I'm going to say to you, being in step with the Spirit means that you actually find value in where God has placed you. And you find contentment in the season that you're in. And you start to see the little flames of thankfulness of where God has placed you. And you say, God, I'm so amazed. I don't see a lot of flames, but I do see a few. God, I don't want to create new flames. I want to join you by fanning the little flames that you are busy using so it will become a fell fire. And then, thirdly, under the requirements, I want to just mention that God's people comes alive through unity. I've mentioned this. That the more that we spend time together, the closer we get to the will of God, and the more unity we are experiencing. Now, listen to this, and this is quite a heavy statement, but I will even back it with scriptures. The manifest presence of God is directly linked to righteousness and holiness. Okay, listen to this. So if we want to have the manifest presence of God in this place, do you want that?
Mm.
Okay, do you know what that means? Mm. That means to be so, when we worship, we can tangibly feel God in this place. Do you know that that is directly linked to holiness and righteousness? Which means that we are in right standing with God and we are living pure lives before Him. But listen to this statement. Authority and effectiveness is directly related to unity. So if we want to see God making us as a church effective, we must be in unity. So we must pursue holiness and being in right standing, which means that we are in the perfect will of God together. If we find ourselves, each one individually, in the bigger congregation, at a place where we can say that we are finding God's will for our lives, guess what? God is going to manifest Himself in this place. If we want to reach the city of London and be effective to bring God's kingdom to fruition, we must have unity among us. Are you with us? Or with me? Listen to this. The fourth one is determine your next step. Now, Exodus 33, verse 15. I don't have it here. Yeah. Then he said to him, if your presence does not, this was Moses speaking to God, and God not wanting to go with Moses at that stage. And Moses stopped the whole travel expedition with the Israelites, and he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here.
For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Are you with me this morning? Guys, we must ask God to determine our next step. We must have an expectation for God to actually lead us to the next phase in our lives. And we need to have burning bush experiences in that. If you don't know where to go next, if you don't know what to do next, make sure that you spend time with God. Take off your sandals. Make time for God. If you need to go and sit in the park alone with nobody else, or you need to do what Marika yesterday did, not go to the city, but rather stay at home. Do whatever is necessary to be in tune with what God wants to do next in your life. Number five, live with expectation. The Holy Spirit will only move in our lives if we have the expectation for Him to move, because He will not bang down the door in our lives. He will not enforce Himself upon us. When we have an expectation for Him to be in our lives, working in our lives all the time, we will be aware of Him, and we will be aware of His doing in and through our lives. There's a beautiful thing that I've seen in Israel actually years ago. I went with the London people actually to Israel on an outreach, prayer outreach. And when I was there, it was actually beautiful to see that the Jews, with all their mistakes, they are vigilant people, which means that, I've been in the country at a very difficult time at that stage. They were shooting rockets from the Gaza Strip and all over, and even from Syria's side, over the border. They would shoot these missiles into Israel. And then the alarms would go off, loud alarms that would go off in a city, and then everyone just run, or not even run. It was actually so beautiful to see how they would, when they hear that alarm, just quickly get into line and go into the bunkers that is closest to them, knowing where the bunker is, and they would follow the guidance of officers that would be around and know exactly what to do when the bombs are flying in Israel. It's as if this is a thing that they've practiced now for a million times before. And it's not, they're not panicking, they just know this is what you do whenever the siren goes off. But it's actually, the beauty of it was the vigilance in which they do it. They were always ready, and I don't know what's going on in Israel now, but I can tell you that was at the time. They're always ready for war. They're always ready for what, and I'm talking about civilians, I'm not talking about military personnel. I'm talking about every average Jew in Israel has been trained in their family life to know what to do when the enemy comes. And I want to tell you, I think in the spirit, many times, we as Christians are being caught off guard because we're not vigilant. We're not in step with the spirit. Our families get tortured. There's open gaps where the enemy's comes to destroy our lives and to steal from us, because we're not vigilant. We're not focused on what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. If we just listened, He would have warned us, and we would have been proactively fighting this war and be in control of where the war is going. I want to say to you, being in step with the Spirit means that we must become more vigilant. And then urgency. That having an expectation for God to move in your life means that you have always an urgency to see God's plan come into fruition. You know what? That you can be a Christian and not ever experience God on a daily basis, or I've got an urgency in my heart that the King of Kings will be arriving. Not, if not in my life, at least a few generations from now, we'll be coming back. He's going to come and fetch us. I want to be a good, faithful servant when he comes back. You know what? I'm faithful to the cause of Christ because I know that he's coming back. I want to say to you this morning, serving the King of Kings means that you and I find the urgency within our hearts to not wait for tomorrow, for one day, for someday, but be obedient now. To live in faith now. To do whatever God wants us to do now. And so Romans 8 again. Let's get back to 8. Verse 11. Listen to this. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Guys, I read Paul's explanation to the churches. He's saying, listen, the more I try, the worse it becomes because I always get everything wrong. He says here in Romans 7, I find in a law that evil is present within me. Maybe I should just read it again. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. Listen to Romans 7. That's not... Are you guys with me?
Mm-hmm.
The chapter before chapter 8. That we spoke about this whole morning. Chapter 7 says... And this is Paul wrestling through being in the spirit or in the flesh the whole time. Listen to this. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For who to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that is evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warning against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This is Paul struggling through the same struggles that you are struggling in trying to justify whatever you do in this life. Are you with me? Paul is having the same conversation with Paul. Okay? Paul is having the same conversation with the people that he's busy raising. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that then when the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul is admitting that there's no ways that he can do it by himself. Now I want to say to you, stop trying to serve a religion that tells you that you must do the right stuff. Start to spend time with the one who matters most, and you'll see how your actions will start to change as you rub off on him. He loves you. He loves you with everything that he has, and he wants to spend time with you. The more time we spend with him, the more we want to change. But guess what? We're running around too much. And we are busy reasoning all the things that we so easily do in this life. We are telling ourselves that we are alright. Until you and I come to where Paul is at. And admitting that it's impossible. Because I'm in this wretched body that always keeps me doing sin. But oh God, when I spend time with you. When I spend time with Christ, the person. I start to be transformed. Let's bow our heads. Father, Thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for your love for us and the fact that we can this morning only but recognize that we are filthy. There's nothing within us, Father, that satisfies you except the fact that you've created us, that you love us more than our sins. And this morning, Father God, we come before you and we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for not getting it right. But, oh God, we truly need to have more of you if we want to change. We truly need more of you in our lives. Father God, if anything is going to change. Father, we come to you this morning and we spend time with you. And we ask that you will meet with us personally in such a way that, oh God, we will be able to see your kingdom come in our lives. Let us see the victory of Christ prevail over us as we spend more time with Christ.
Yes, Lord.
And Jesus, this morning, we want to say we love you. Let your face shine upon us. Let your countenance be known by each one in this room. And let us be on holy ground often. Let us be at that place of the burning bush often in our lives, so that we will be guided by your Holy Spirit in step with where your platoon is going. Father, we know this is war, and some of us this morning don't even want to go to war. But I ask you, O God, please come and meet us where we are. Bring within our hearts the love and the desire to spend more time with you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to end off now. I know you're very hungry, probably. You'll get to eat just now. But let's turn to one another. If I can ask you to spend time with Joseph and Elizabeth, if you guys can at the back spend time together. Three of you can spend time together with God. Let's have an honest conversation about where we are at, and are we in the spirit or not? I'll join you guys here in front. But let's trust God to at least be honest with him this morning, so that we can start to transform us. Is that all right?
Amen.
Okay. And then you're welcome to leave, guys. There's some coffee afterwards, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is going to do it like this, and there's food even that you guys can enjoy with us. Please enjoy it with us.
That's what's